With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And a very good Friday morning, afternoon, evening, everyone. Joe Beningo back with you again, the Oh the Pain podcast. It is Friday. It is March the 1st. February is over. Thank you, Lord. 2024, the Joe Beningo the Pain podcast brought to you by the Hackensack Brewing Company. And we'll give you later on the we have the date now for the next live podcast coming up. We'll let you know in a little bit. Of course, I need a discount tire. And, of course, our friends at DraftKings. You know, I got to start with all this nonsense with Mecole Hardman and the Jets. And, of course, the NFL Combine's going on right now in Indianapolis next week. I believe it's next week or maybe another 10 days till free agency starts. You know, the draft not until the end of April. But what are you kidding me with this guy Hardman? So the Jets signed him to this big contract. And look, I mean, whatever the deal was, why they didn't use him, why he wasn't playing, I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know, right? I understand the kid Gibson, Xavier Gibson, beat him out, whatever you want, you know, whatever you want to say about that. So I don't get it. But how about the fact that Hardman, in the middle of the year, is basically calling up the Chiefs, the chief GM, and Patrick Mahomes, and basically saying, get me out of here. What? Get me out of here, he says. And, of course, eventually now the Jets do trade him to Kansas City. And, of course, as it could only happen to my team, Mecole Hardman winds up catching the game-winning pass in the freaking Super Bowl. Of course he did. Why not? And then didn't even realize he did. Patrick Mahomes had to come up to him and say, oh, by the way, we just won the Super Bowl. Hello? But, I mean, that's unbelievable. And now we're hearing, I guess, there's claims as well. I guess a couple of the Jets have come out and made comments that apparently this guy was given the offensive game plan to the opponents before games. I guess he did it in the Eagle game, a game the Jets actually won, and in the game against the Chiefs, which the Jets probably should have won. My wife says, could you say a-hole? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. How is that possible? And you know, I guess they asked Joe Douglas, and I don't know how much they can do, you know, about, you know, investigating to see whether he gave the game plan to other teams or not. But one thing it could definitely do, I mean, obviously they can check into it, because if he called the Chiefs to you know, to get him out of New York, while he was still playing for the Jets and under contract, you know, there could be some draft compensation coming the Jets' way for that, because that's tampering.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So only the Jets can this kind of crap happen. I mean, you know, what else? But, you know, to me, this is symptomatic of what this franchise has been forever. I mean, you know, they've been a poorly run franchise, you know, basically for the last 55 years. You know, there's been moments when they haven't been, you know, the Parcells era, a little bit in the early days of Rex Ryan, you know, maybe when Herman was there, you know, there was some moments, you know, when Walt Michaels was coaching the team. There's been sporadic moments when this franchise has really been, you know, run like a solid NFL franchise. But for the most part, it's been a joke. And let's be honest, we have had two of the worst owners you could ever have. Now, Leon Hess might have been one of the great humanitarians and one of the nicest guys. You hear nothing but that. He was a tough guy. You know, he was out there with the, you know, in the Middle East with the mullahs and you know, with all the oil and all the stuff he was involved with then. So he's a tough dude. I mean, there's no doubt he was involved with Saudi Arabia and all of that stuff, you know, with the oil business. So this was no faint of heart guy. But as far as an NFL owner, he was terrible. And it's the same thing with Woody Johnson. You know, Woody Johnson's got this conglomerate with Johnson & Johnson. And I got it. You know, I was very happy. And I don't want to get into this too much, but I was very happy to see, you know, Woody the other day. You know, his off the field, his away from the football stuff. I'm down with Woody all the way on that. But as far as an owner goes, come on. Give me a freaking break. He's been a terrible owner. And his franchise is run brutally. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And he finally came out. And finally, even though he didn't give a complete mandate, he didn't say the words, we have to make the playoffs. I mean, he basically did say that. And it's time now. The bullshit's got to stop now with this franchise. It's now or never. It's now or never. And they have to win this year. They have to at least make the playoffs. And it's that's not even good enough. It's time to make a run. It's time for this team to to move into the higher echelon of teams in the National Football League. Not to be down on the bottom somewhere where they always are. And we'll see what they do. They're at the combines now. You know, everybody knows the deal. They need an offensive lineman. They need an offensive lineman, period. And I didn't understand this. And I understand Laken Tomlinson was not the best player. I get it. You know, yeah, he didn't play great for the last couple of years. But here's the thing about Tomlinson on the offensive line. He played every game. He was the one constant in the last couple. He played every game for the last couple of years. He was available. And what do we always say? What is the greatest trait in sports or in anything, right? Right? Availability. The greatest ability is availability. And Laken Tomlinson was playing all the time. And I'll say this. If he had better guys around him, if he wasn't playing next to Mekhi Becton, you know, maybe he would have been a lot better player. So I didn't quite, I know they saved $8 million in cap space. I get that. I understand that aspect of it. But I was a little surprised for a team that got, that needs offensive linemen as bad as they do. And here you got one guy that actually played the entire year last year where they were, you know, everybody else was going down like flies. I was a little surprised that they let him go. Now we'll see what happens with the, you know, as far as what they do in the first round of the draft, we'll see what happens. They got the 10th pick overall. You got those three big offensive linemen that are out there. I don't know if they're going to be there when the Jets pick. The kid from the two guys, I can't even say their name. The one guy from Penn State, the one guy from Oregon State, and the one guy who you can't say his name, Joe Alt from Notre Dame. You know, if one of those three guys are there, I would expect that the Jets will take them. They're all offensive tackles. Now, you're also hearing the very real possibility that the Jets at 10 might take Brock Bowers, the all-American tight end from Georgia, who is a tremendous player. I mean, saw them play a lot. He's playing on a team that won two national championships there. You know, they were always in the mix. I mean, they had their 29-game winning streak ended in the SEC championship game by Alabama and probably still should have been in the Final Four, but whatever. The only knock on Bowers is that he got hurt late in the season. He was in and out of the lineup last year. Did not play in the bowl game when Georgia absolutely wiped out Florida State. When Florida State decided they didn't want to play. They all were transferring or getting ready for the NFL. While the Georgia players actually all played. And even though Bowers was out for that game, he actually was on the sideline with his team. What a concept. So, you know, anyway. So the possibility of taking Bowers, and look, you know, we all know that the Jets need another guy opposite Garrett Wilson, but he doesn't necessarily have to be a wide receiver. He could certainly be a tight end, and God knows, you know, we've seen what kind of an impact a big-time tight end can make. Just look at Travis Kelce. Just look at Gronkowski with the Patriots in the last few years. And this kid is good. So we'll see what they do, but they're at the combines now, and we'll see. But the whole thing with Mecole Hardman, it's so Jet-like. I mean, let's be honest. This is the kind of crap that always seems to happen with this franchise. And maybe it'll work out for them. Maybe they'll get some kind of draft compensation. Maybe it'll be proved that there was tampering going on between the Chiefs and the Jets. And we'll see. We'll see how it plays out when all is said and done. But this is a big year. This is a must-win year for the New York Jets, for Joe Douglas, for Robert Saleh, you know, for everybody involved. This is a must-win year for Nathaniel Hackett, everybody, Jeff Ulbrich, everybody. This is a must-win year for this franchise. And we all know what they got to do. We talked about the offensive line. You know, we talked about another impact offense, you know, a skill player, like a guy like Bowers. We talked about that. Obviously, the health of Aaron Rodgers is imperative, and probably the biggest move that they're going to make all year, probably the biggest move they're going to make. Who are they going to sign as a backup quarterback? Now, God knows they need a veteran backup. And I, you know, look, I mean, to me, Jacoby Brissett would be the best guy, right? I like Tyrod Taylor a lot, but Tyrod Taylor, we've talked about it endlessly. He's hurt all the time. He's constantly injured. So that's the one thing that worries me. He's very good, but, you know, seems like he gets hurt every year. There was word about Tannehill, who I don't mind him. And now you're hearing even Sam Howell of Washington, who really wasn't. I mean, as far, I know a lot of people say, oh, Sam Howell. But you know what? As a backup quarterback, I mean, he's not terrible. I mean, you could win games with him. You know, we're not talking about him being the starter. I mean, if he winds up being the starter, you got a problem. But I've said this too, and this is for this organization going into this season. Even if Rodgers goes down, they have got to still have to make the playoffs. I don't care what happens with that situation. If Rodgers misses, you know, 5-6 games this year, they still have to make the playoffs. There's no gray area. And as far as the other side of the football, the defensive side of the football, by the way, Bryce Huff is gone. Forget it. Bryce Huff is not coming back to this team. You could hear, you know, some of the comments from Joe Douglas and, you know, they're going to let Bryce test free agency. He's gone. They can't franchise him because the franchise tag for an elite pass rusher, the guy had 10 sacks last year, even though he didn't play a lot, you know, he plays only limited. He's really strictly just that, just a pass rusher. That's really all he is. That's the only time he really plays. He doesn't really play during, you know, every down of, you know, he's not playing three downs every time. So, but the franchise tag for a pass rush is like $17, $18 million. So the Jets are not going to franchise him. And look, they drafted the kid McDonald. You know, he's probably going to wind up filling in what the slot that Bryce Huff will leave. But I'm telling you right now, Jet fans, say goodbye to him there. He is not coming back. He'll be somewhere else. So don't even delusion yourself into thinking that he's coming back. But one thing about the defense, and I told this to Salah after the AFC title game and watching the way Spagnuolo went after Lamar Jackson and basically shut him down as Kansas City went on to win the whole thing yet again, right? They got to be more aggressive, this defense. Defense is good. We got a good defense, no doubt. One of the top defenses in the league. It's a top 10 defense. But they got to get more aggressive. They got to blitz more. They don't blitz enough. This idea that you can get there all the time with just a four-man pass rush, no, that's not how it works. Not in this league. Not if you're going up against a big-time offensive line. You got to go after the quarterback. I'm sorry. And they got to blitz more, especially when you're looking at the kind of a secondary they have, when you got an all-pro in Sauce Gardner on one side, who they don't even throw the ball his way, all right? You watch the Jet games. You know, one of the reasons he didn't have an interception last year, well, he did drop a big one that should have been a touchdown in Dallas early in the year, but, you know. But one of the reasons that he didn't have an interception last year, they don't throw at him. You don't even know he's on the field, right? And DJ Reed was on the other side. He got beat a little bit, especially late in the season. Jason Waddle comes to mind, you know. So he had some problems late in the year, no doubt about it. But still, he's still a top corner. And you got Michael Carter, who's probably, you know, as good a slot guy, maybe next to the kid McDuffie in Kansas City, you know, is the best slot corner in football. So when you got those kind of guys in the secondary, there's no reason that you shouldn't be blitzing and blitz more. So I want to see more of that this year. I got to see that, man. I got to see this defense now go from being a good defense to being a great defense. You know, DJ Reed talked about the 85 Bears last year. Let's not get delusional here, okay? But for them to take the step up to being, you know, anywhere near that caliber of defense, one thing that those defenses did, you watched that Bear defense, the 46 defense and all that, Buddy Ryan blitzed all the time. All the time. And I mean, and that's what you got to do. When Rex Ryan was here, we blitzed all the time when we had Cromartie and Revis at corners. And then you got to go after the quarterback. You saw Spagnuolo. Look what he did in the playoffs. And let's be honest, right now, Steve Spagnuolo is the premier, right? He is the premier defensive coordinator in football right now, right? One of the greats of all time. He's won, what, 4 Super Bowls now as a D coordinator? And his game plan against Lamar Jackson was brilliant. And that's what you got to do. You got to go after the quarterback. You know, there's no more. You can't just rush four guys and let guys like Joe Flacco, you know, or, Mac Jones early in the year just sit back there and beat you when you're not going after them, especially guys like that that have no mobility. Terrible. So I got to see more from the defense this year. But this is a big year for Douglas, a monster year for Salah. They got to win this year. There's no gray area. They got to fix the offensive line. They got to add another skill guy for sure. They got to get a legitimate veteran backup quarterback. And hopefully Rodgers is going to be healthy. And I'll tell you something else, too. Let's be real about this. At some point, this franchise has got to bring in a young quarterback. I mean, you know, how many years does Rodgers have left? They got to do that. And I'm going to say this. If Michael Penix, because a lot of people are down on Penix, right? Because he, you know, he played 6 years. He was at Indiana 4 years, 2 years at Washington. Guy played, you know, he like almost had like an NFL career already, this guy. And he's a little older. I think he's 25 or whatever he is coming into the NFL. But people are concerned about him because of he's had major injuries in his college career. If he's sitting there in the third round, I'm taking him if I'm the Jets. I take a shot at him. Why not? They got to come up with a young quarterback at some point. There's no doubt about it. But this is a monster year for the Jets. And look, the BS crap that happened like last year with Mecole Hardman, this is the kind of thing that really seems to happen too often with this franchise. So we'll see what happens going forward. All right, Beningo, the Yoda Pain Podcast. Let's get our sponsors in here. I mentioned at the top that we have nailed down, the boss has now nailed down the date for the next live podcast at the Hackensack Brewing Company. So it's going to be March the 29th, which is a Friday. Friday, March the 29th, right at the very beginning of the baseball season. Met fans can't wait for that, right? Right at the beginning of baseball season, we will be doing our next live podcast at the Hackensack Brewing Company, March the 29th. And you know the deal on that. The Brewing Company, located 10 minutes off the George Washington Bridge, less than 30 seconds off Route 4, and who needs a house out in Hackensack? And I counted that by saying, not that I love New Jersey, but I counted that by saying, who needs a house out in Oyster Bay? Because you could say whatever the hell you want about Jersey. New York's 100 times worse. So, you know. But anyway, we don't want to get into all that. But nevertheless, the taproom's open 4:30 to 10 Monday through Friday, 2 to 10 Saturday, 12 to 8 Sunday, 78 Johnson Avenue in Hackensack, right behind the tombstones. No tombstone for me there yet, but it's closing in. Anyway, hey, it's closing in. Anyway, where was I? I'm losing my train of thought. So anyway, go check it out. I believe the new beer is out now. I believe that TJ has it in Nick colors now. I've heard he's going to do Knicks and Ranger colors just in time for the playoffs. So we'll see. And that's the other thing. By March 29th, well, the seasons won't be over yet on March 29th, but I think we'll have a good idea how we look as far as the Rangers and the Knicks in playoff position. Still a little bit, still probably almost a month or a couple weeks to go in the regular seasons after that, but nevertheless. But check out my Ode to Pain beer. Remember, you got the Jet beer, you got the Met beer, and I guess TJ now is working on both Nick and Ranger labeling, so you want to check that out. Go see Mike Jones, go see TJ, everybody over there, Andre, the Homie Spooker, 78 Johnson Avenue in Hackensack. And again, the next live podcast, Friday, March the 29th. And of course, if you need work done on your car, whatever you need tires, you need whatever automotive needs you have, you need your car inspected, go see my son Johnny at Anita Discount Tire in beautiful Rivervale, New Jersey on Westwood Avenue. They'll take care of you. They do a great job over there. You know, see Harry, see Johnny, see everybody over there, whatever you need. Again, Rivervale, New Jersey, Westwood Avenue, Anita Discount Tire, and tell them Joe B sent you. And finally, of course, DraftKings, you want to bet on anything? You got the NCAA tournament now right around the corner. You want to bet on the NBA, the NHL. You want to bet on soccer. You want to bet on the golf. You got the I don't even know what they call the tournament this week, but it's at the PGA National. It used to be the Honda Classic. Now it's the, I think it's got a crazy kind of name, whatever it is. But Chaz Ramey was the leader after the first round. One of the best courses there is, PGA National, water everywhere. I'm watching guys yesterday, you know, hitting shots out of the water. They're pulling their pants up, you know, taking their shoes off, hitting the ball out of the water. One guy didn't get out of the water with it. You know.
Cognizant Classic.
Yeah, Cognizant Classic. That's what they call it now. That's the new sponsor at PGA National. But nevertheless, Chaz Ramey, and he's tied with somebody. Who's tied with Ramey for the lead? Do you have the leaderboard there?
Yes.
There's two guys at seven under, Ramey and another guy.
Well, Boozin
Hoop. Oh, he's up there now?
Well, he's...
Did they start playing already? I guess they probably did. Who's the leader now?
Round two. Is it Ramey right now? But he doesn't tee off until 12:18.
Yeah.
But Boozin Hoop?
He's behind him. He's seven under two, Boozin Hoop.
Six under.
Oh, okay. So the other guy dropped back, huh? Lee was at seven under, so he must have dropped.
There's a ton at six under. Right,
yeah, he must have dropped. Okay, but Chaz Ramey is the leader. But it's a great course, and I'll tell you, if you ever get a chance, if you ever play there, you better bring a lot of balls, because you you are losing balls if you play a PGA National. If you play a PGA National, you play 18 there, and you go without losing a ball, you played a hell of a round, I can tell you that. But anyway, check out DraftKings, whatever you want to bet on. You know, use the code ODAPAIN, and that's the way to go. You get bonus points when you do that. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, visit www.1800gambler.net. Check it out, the only way to go, and that is DraftKings. All right, Beningo, the ODAPAIN podcast. Want to get a little bit into the Knicks. The Knicks are in trouble. I mean, you know, they lost last night to Golden State. You know, the injuries have really caught up to them. After they had that big run, after they made the Anunoby trade, they went 15-2. Ever since then, they're 4-8 for the month of February. They've lost their last two in a row. They were lucky to win the game the other night when they beat Detroit. They were real lucky. They got a brutal no-call that went the Knicks' way. Josh Hart got that layup to win the game. They've lost their last couple of games since then. They lost to, who was it, Orlando beat them. And then they wind up losing the other night, last night to Golden State. Golden State had a 14-0 lead to start the game and really never looked back. The Knicks did cut it, I believe, to four at one point. But that's as close as they got. Here's the bottom line. The Knicks are at 35-25 right now. Here's the bottom line, all right? If they don't get Julius Randle and OG Anunoby back, and dare I say even Mitchell Robinson back, forget it. Forget about it. They may make the playoffs, but, you know, they may wind up being in the play-in tournament. And there's only so much Jalen Brunson and DiVincenzo and these guys could do. Let's be honest. Bojan Bogdanović, there's only so much they can do right now. Josh Hart, they need the big guys. They need Randle. They need Anunoby for sure if they're going to make a run, any kind of big run in the playoffs. And let's be honest, Brunson's getting the crap beat out of him. I mean, he didn't play the other night in Orlando. He had to sit out with neck spasms. Played last night, and he just gets the crap beat out of him. I mean, everybody knows that he's the guy. He's the guy with the ball. You know, he's become almost the poor man's Allen Iverson. Really, that's the way he plays. He plays fearless. He plays reckless. But they miss Randle, and they miss Anunoby. You know, for everybody who was so down on Julius Randle, you know, the Knicks got to get rid of him. No. That you see how valuable he is to this team now. So we'll see what happens. But you can't feel good about the state of the Knicks right now. I mean, you were all pumped up. You know, when they're 100% and they got everybody 100% healthy there, I think they're a legitimate, you know, championship contender. I really do. You know, maybe they're not as good as Boston, but I think they could beat anybody else. And who knows? If they are at full capacity, maybe you could beat the Celtics too. The hated Celtics as well. Maybe, you know. By the way, how much can't you stand Porzingis on the Celtics? Oh, God. You know, this guy's all happy now. He's on the best team in the league. He's playing great. This bastard couldn't wait to get the hell out of New York. Couldn't wait. And as far as I'm concerned, he can't get booed enough. I mean it, man. I can't stand the guy. And the fact that he's in Boston now just makes me hate him even more. I'm sorry. I got to take a drink of water when I think about Porzingis. Piece of shit. Sorry. Sorry to swear, but I have to. Right? He's hitting threes. He's doing this. Oh, Porzingis. Oh, please. What a disgrace. But anyway, yeah, if the Knicks don't get healthy, it's not going to end well in the playoffs. I mean, and like I said, you know, let's hope that they can stay out of that seven, you know, that play-in. You know, that you don't want to be there, that's for sure. So we'll see where we go from here. But right now, the Knicks a very, very banged-up basketball team, no doubt about it. 35-25. So what is that, 60 games now? Right? So they play, so they got 22 games to play. So, you know, we'll see. But they really, they need Randle, and God knows they need Ananobi and Randle if they're going to make any kind of big run in the playoffs. All right, Beningo, the Order Paid Podcast. Then you got the other team at Madison Square Garden that just completed an unbelievable February. They went 10-1 in February. They've won 11 of the last 12, and that, of course, is the Rangers. The Rangers have the most wins of anybody in hockey. They got 40 wins. They're the first team to get there. As a matter of fact, they tied the 72-73 Rangers for the quickest to 40 wins in a season. Now, if I'm not mistaken, do me a favor, Tay. I'm not 100% sure. The 73 Rangers lost in the playoffs to the Flyers. Did they beat the Bruins in the first round and lose to the Flyers in the second round? I'm not sure. But anyway, my wife will check it out for me. But the Rangers are flying. 40-17-3, really 40-20, if you want to look at it this way. They got 83 points. They're tied for the most points in the league. And here's the big key right now for you if you're a Ranger fan, and that is that Igor Shesterkin is back to playing at the very top of his game. I mean, he was 7-0. He's 7-0 in his last seven starts. I think the number is he's saved 149 out of 153 shots. Like a 970 save percentage. He's been brilliant, no doubt about it. Continues to play great. And the trade deadline, of course, is coming. March 8th, I believe, is the trade deadline. And I guess the Rangers, there's a couple things they need. Obviously, Philip Hedl is done for the year with that concussion. It looks like they lost Blake Wheeler. I guess they're in discussion with the Anaheim Ducks about maybe trading. And I don't know, Capo Caco might get traded here. But they're looking at Frank Vetrano, who was with the Rangers last year at the end, and Adam Henrique, the former New Jersey Devil, maybe some kind of a deal to get those guys and bring them to the Garden. Because the big glaring weakness that the Rangers have, who is the guy on the other side of the Kreider-Zibanejad line, right? You've seen Wheeler there. You've seen Kako's been playing there lately. It's kind of been, you know, Jimmy Vesey's been on there a little bit. It's kind of been a revolving door. So, you know, that's one area that maybe the Rangers are looking at. Maybe you want to bring in another defenseman. I think they should hold on and keep Matt Rempe, keep this kid playing. I think he's been absolutely phenomenal for the Rangers. I really do. And he doesn't need to fight all the time, but, you know, he can skate. Him and the kid Edstrom, I like both of them, the two 6'7", 6'8" guys. So the Rangers playing great right now. The bottom line is, as we all know, the Rangers have to win it all. You know, there's no way around it. And Shesterkin's been fabulous now. He's back, you know, after a tough early part of the season. You know, Artemi Panarin's playing at an MVP Hart Trophy level. He's already got a career high with 35 goals. I believe he's only the third Ranger ever. Did I see that? Only the third Ranger ever to have 4 years in a row of 80 points or more. And the other two guys, I believe, are Gilbert and Messier. So, you know, that's pretty heavy-duty company there. So Panarin's been unbelievable. That line with him, Lafreniere, and Trocheck has been their best line all year. So we'll see. But this team is hitting on all cylinders right now. And if you're a Ranger fan, man, you got to be very happy what you see. But the bottom line is, it's all about what they do in the playoffs. It's all about the playoffs. And they got to make a big run. They got to win the cup. Let's be honest. It's going to be 30 years this year since they won the last one. And it was 54 before that that they hadn't won. So we'll see what's happening. as we get closer and closer to the end of the year. 22 games as well left for the Rangers in the regular season. As I said, 83 points, tied for the most in the league, and 40 wins, the most right now in the NHL. They will play Saturday. They'll go up to Toronto to play the Maple Leafs. That's their next game coming up on Saturday. What they did in the play, it's too late now because we're at the end, but I want you'll show it to me anyway. Okay. Let me just see quick. You got to 73 where they ended?
Yeah, they lost to the Flyers.
They did lose to the Flyers, so yeah. I was right. 73, they lost to the Flyers in the second round.